We're here at the Granoff Center at Brown, and we're looking at, encased in glass, an original copy of Shakespeare's First Folio, which was published in 1623. And there were about 700 to 800 copies in that original first run. There was a second run in 1632, and they're traveling the country right now so that every state gets to have a little taste of history and to celebrate Shakespeare's the 400th anniversary of Shakespeare's death, which was on April 23rd.
Essentially, it's a large book, probably about 1 foot wide by a foot and a half. Yep. Long, mm-hmm. Old, parchmenty, and a newsprint, yeah. Yellowing pages. Yeah. What should we notice about this? What are some things that are interesting or important to notice about this book?
Yeah, well, I'm not an antiquarian or a book expert of any kind, but a folio refers to the kind of double pages. So they would have one large sheet that would be folded and make for four pages. This doesn't look unlike the complete works of Shakespeare that most college students probably carry around in their backpacks. Maybe not anymore, as they all have an app for them now, or that you can have all 37 plays, 154 sonnets and the epic poems all in, a little digital file at your fingertips. But for those of us who still like the tangible stuff, this isn't much different than my Riverside edition that I still carry around with me that weighs about, 14 pounds. And
so why is this important? Why is this book important?
Well, it's pretty much a full collection of Shakespeare's plays, which did not exist up until this time. This was 7 years after he died, and 18 of the plays were published in the folio for the first time, meaning they weren't available in Shakespeare's lifetime at a bookstall, and who knows how they would have seen the light of day if not for Heming and Condell, who were two actors in his company who put this together.
So you have arguably a fairly different relationship with Shakespeare than maybe the average American.
Sure.
How does Shakespeare fit into your life?
Well, I've been working professionally in the theater for around 20 years now, and so over that period, I've acted and directed in a couple of dozen productions over the last 20 years, so it really has been kind of a touchstone in my life. And I teach it as well. I teach at the University of Rhode Island, and I work with students every year, acting students, on working with Shakespeare's language and getting good at communicating it to an audience and making it clear and proving, time and time again, as has been happening for 400 years, that we often say he's the greatest writer of all time. Well, we have to prove it on stage, and sometimes people can get a little scared of it. And our job as actors is to make sure that we calm them and say there's no reason to be scared. If you lean forward a little bit and listen to the stuff, it'll change your life.
So, yeah, exactly. Why should someone here in Rhode Island who may not know anything about Shakespeare more than to be or not to be, mm-hmm. care that this is here?
Yeah. I think because little do they know it, but they are already quoting Shakespeare on a daily basis. People who've never read a lick of it, who've never opened the book, maybe even never have gone to see a play, will over the course of the day or a week probably quote him 2 or 3 times and not even realize they're doing it. He had that much influence on our language. He probably invented in the neighborhood of 1,700 to 2,000 new words, not necessarily brand new, but using old words or his different forms of speech in order to make a point. They say words like assassination, bubble, so many cliches that we kind of throw around all the time. There's a million of them that we just say, and we think, well, that's an old thing. It's been around forever. It originated with him. There's an old joke about Hamlet. You mentioned To Be or Not to Be. Oh, that play Hamlet, that's just a bunch of quotes stitched together to make a story, because there's so many things that come out of it that every American, every English speaker around the world, and, not just English speakers, he kind of transcends language in that way. And, people for whom English is, they don't know at all, or as a second or third language, embrace his work in a way that's extraordinary and really unique, I think, among world writers.
Well, Tony Estrella, Artistic Director at the GAM Theater and Shakespearean, thank you very much for taking the time to talk to us.
My pleasure. Thank you.